All right, just after 9 o'clock now on this Thursday morning, 55 degrees currently outside, and we want to welcome in our special guest today, attorney Michelle Raymond. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
How's everything in the office these days out there in Franklin?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Busy, and that's how we like to be.
Yes, you do. That's for sure. First of all, welcome. Thank you for being down here. You do have quite a number of attorneys up there in the office there. First of all, tell us, people, where you work and what your specialty is. A little bit of background on who Michelle Raymond is.
Where I work, and I'm a shareholder there as well, is Doherty, Chekanowski, Dugan & Cannon. We're located in Franklin, and we have 12 attorneys, and we're continuing to grow as well. We really have, I like to view it as, you know, a local but multi-practice firm. So we have various areas. Domestic relations is a large part of the firm, as well as real estate, corporate. We work with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses. Real estate is commercial and residential, estate planning, and summary process. So we do a lot of civil litigation as well. So it really covers the gamut, and a lot of attorneys do multiple practices. Myself, I am the head of the domestic relations department. I do both divorce litigation, child support, private adoptions, or really a lot of times with step parents and so forth. And then about half of my practice is mediation and collaborative law. So I work with, I like to say, families in crisis.
Right.
So we have multiple attorneys that work in that area as well.
And as you said, you've been doing this now for a while. Yeah. What do you have? How many years now with being a lawyer now?
I'm at about 17 years.
Wow. And but
it's a little surprising to me.
It really could be. It really is. As you said, as we had Mike Doherty here a few weeks ago talking about the sick time benefits, and because I know not every lawyer has, you know, they all have their own specialty. You know, as you said, we know that your specialty is. Mike has one piece of legislature that he understands and stuff. So all lawyers really, if you go through the phone book and whatever, and if you look at like, all right, I'm going to get this person or that person, you've got to make sure that you know who you're getting, whether male or female. They've got to know that subject. You know, you could go to somebody like yourself, or you can go somebody who may have a dealing with real estate law.
Right.
All different. So basically, what basically do people really have to do? I mean, other than know their homework, you've got to basically be on the ball. Basically, you just can't turn around and like, all right, you're gonna shut your eyes and say, okay, A, B, C, or D, boom. You've got to basically know basically do your homework.
Right, absolutely. And especially in the area that I practice in, which is divorce law, it's so complex in a lot of ways because it's so case specific.
Right.
Every client that comes in has a different set of facts. It may be similar to something else, but you have to cater to that set of facts to help them come to a completion. And so for me, what I really like to do, my approach is really very much help the whole client, not just the legal aspects of things, but also help them through the transitions that they have to go through. A lot of times they might be selling a house, they have to learn finances, they have to deal with kids. So it's more than just my knowing the law.
Right.
It's also my having a team of people that can help them through all those areas. And so it really helps that I have such a background in it. And part of my background was when I was, I'm originally from Florida. And so when I went to school there and so forth, I became a guardian ad litem in Florida. And so I was doing investigations, really volunteer-wise for the state to really determine whether abuse had occurred and give recommendations to judges and so forth. And that's really helped me in my practice to be able to kind of have that experience and really kind of help provide clients with more in that way.
You know, and a lot of attorneys, whatever offices they're in, also need someone as an assistant, like you have Stephanie Kelly helping you, but you've got a lot of other people out there. You know, you turn around, and when you're an attorney, it does always help to have someone else out there. You know, you may be not, you know, in the office every single day. You're in court or doing something else or at some client's home, whatever. And these people are either with you or in the office, basically doing a lot of legwork and stuff. You're really these people are 100% helpful in the market out there.
Absolutely. I like to say Stephanie knows my life better than I know my own. And it really helps. We've got a very good support staff. And Stephanie is able to make sure that clients are able to get a hold of me mm-hmm. when they need to. She's really good on being able to determine if there's an emergency where if I'm in court, she needs right. to get a hold of me. Or since we have so many attorneys in the office, there's always somebody there that could step in and help. Mm-hmm. But also scheduling and making sure and keeping on top of things so that a lot of time doesn't pass between right. when a client has heard from us or things are going on. Because I know that that's one area that people complain a lot about attorneys is that, you know, they don't hear from their attorney or they can't get a hold of their attorney. And we really at Doherty Chekanowski, Dugan and Cannon really like to pride ourselves that we're very responsive. You know, if client contacts us, email or phone, within 24 hours, we're going to respond.
Now, with your background there, and if you're not there, and you know Stephanie tries to contact you or all the other assistants, are there other attorneys at that firm in Franklin that could basically do the same thing that you're doing if you're not there? Because
yes.
I know Mike is got a different thing, you know, a different background. So there are other lawyers that can take over in the absence of you.
Absolutely. Mike Doherty also does some domestic relations mm-hmm. he has for many years. That falls in line with the other practices that he does. Stephen Weil does domestic relations. Melissa Howitt is one of our associates who does domestic relations and probate litigation, which is another interesting mm-hmm. area. And so we have at least three others. There are other attorneys like John Dugan that used to do a lot more mm-hmm. Divorce, but now he's really dealing more with probates and wills okay. and stuff like that. But they have the knowledge. It doesn't mm-hmm. go away.
Right.
So if there's an emergency, and he's very connected with the court, so he would be able to help clients as well.
Interesting. Excellent. Good. All right. We're here with Michelle Raymond. We have now meteorologist Jim Corbin with his next check on the forecast. Jim?
Well, Dom, a quick update. We've got the temperatures now climbing over 60 just about everywhere. Nice recovery from early this morning. We're going to reach 70 around 11 o'clock and close to 80 around 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you're down at the south coast, it'll be about 10 degrees cooler, but still bright and sunny. Clear tonight, falling down to the mid-50s, but that's by early tomorrow morning, so evening plans, no problems. Sunshine, a few late clouds tomorrow, high in the upper 70s to near 80. Could cool off over east coastal areas in the afternoon. And then Saturday and Sunday, really nice sun and clouds Saturday, high of upper 70s to near 80, and mid-80s with rather high humidity for this time of the year on Sunday. So a great stretch of weather coming up.
All right. Sounds great, Jim. All right. We will talk to you in about 30 minutes from now with another update.
Okay.
There we go. There goes meteorologist Jim Corbin with his next check on the forecast. All right. We are here with attorney Michelle Raymond. First off, Michelle, I know that, you know, when you talk about law, everybody has, like I say, their expertise. What options do people have, first of all, here in the Bay State to obtain a divorce? I know, is it different from state to state?
Absolutely. That's one of the areas of law that is very state-specific.
Mm-hmm.
So every state, like Rhode Island, it's so close to many of us
right.
here. Living in North Attleboro, I know it's right around the corner, has very different laws mm-hmm. on divorce and how assets are divided and how they deal with child custody and parenting arrangements and so forth. So that's one thing we have to know is, are people not only married in Massachusetts but continuing to live in Massachusetts? Does Massachusetts have jurisdiction to
right.
kind of give people a divorce? One of the areas that's been very interesting is when you have couples that are, you know, same-sex couples that are married in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. but then no longer live in Massachusetts and they want to get a divorce. I've had some cases where we've had to help them be able to finalize their divorce in Massachusetts when they live outside of the state. So it's been very interesting in that way.
Now, if it's a same-sex couple, or, you know, it's the man and the wife, if they have a problem, you know, I know it sometimes it's even harder on the kids, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I know you've seen this, you know, tons of times. Who do they go with? You know, is it the mom? Is it the dad? Is it the custody of, you know, 50-50, whatever it is? But sometimes I've seen in the past, I've known a few people out there, the parents have, they're not doing it anymore. They don't have the kids. It may be going with an aunt or uncle or a grandparent, or maybe a sibling of the parents as well. I mean, you might have seen something, and that's going to be hard on the kids too. I mean, if they're young, or even in their teens, maybe not seeing their parents, or maybe they see them, you know, whatever, you know, 10% of the time, and that's going to be tough, especially on a young person.
Yeah, I think that divorce overall can be tough on children, and that's really why. I really like being able to do mediation mm-hmm. as well as doing the litigation in the courts, is that the more the parents can control what the decisions are in regards to their children and how they're going to continue to parent, how they're going to transition from a married couple mm-hmm. into a divorced parents, it's really important to have a good transition so that they can continue to communicate, or communicate in a better way, that's a different way, and be able to make decisions regarding how the children are going to be parented, where they're going to live, how they're going to see each parent, and really kind of form a cooperation mm-hmm. with that. And as a mediator, I'm able to kind of help them through that transition. And so in Massachusetts, there's three techniques to mm-hmm. get divorced. One is litigation, which is the normal, what people consider to be the normal way. Both people hire attorneys, they file with the court, either the court makes a final decision as to how the divorce is going to be, or the parties come to an agreement and the mm-hmm. The court just approves it. The other way is through mediation, where they sit with a neutral mediator who's not acting as an attorney, right. but acting as a neutral mm-hmm. to kind of just help them, guide them through all the areas that they need to come to a decision on. And like I said, that's about 50% of my practice, mm. and I've been doing that for about 15 years now. Mm. I really enjoy it. But what I find helpful with that is it helps me understand where people are coming from, which also helps me on the litigation end as well, because I can understand motivation sometimes. Right. They may say one thing, but they're really looking for something else. And then the third area, which has been a growing trend in Massachusetts, it's really something, a technique that's come from out west, is the collaborative law. Technique for divorce, which is kind of a hybrid, where the parties hire collaboratively trained attorneys, and they've signed an agreement that they're not going to go to court, that they're going to resolve everything outside the court system, and they're just going to go to court to get it approved. Mm-hmm. And it's a team approach, where you have a coach that's really involved that becomes the neutral to kind of help break those impasses mm-hmm. to really proceed. And the big difference there is when I'm doing litigation, even though we might be trying to work everything out and having a lot of meetings, I still have to prepare for trial. So I still have to do all of the discovery and really prepare that if we don't come to a settlement, I may have to have a full trial. I may have to put the opposing party on the stand. Mm-hmm. Are they going to be a good witness? How can I kind of get the information out of them that I want out of them? In collaborative, we're not going to go to trial. That takes it off the table. And it can be a very good technique because it kind of opens up and allows people to put all options on the table without fear that they're going to be put on the stand right. at some point.
When you got something like that, when a marital divorce, so you know, when you got a divorce and you got a child, excuse me, in the courts or something like that, this may be the first time that a child is in a courtroom, and like you look at the they come into the room, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, this is, you know, do you or someone kind of go over to the kids, you know, and kind of ease them a little bit, you know, because this could be very scary the first time.
I have to say, I've never had a situation where I've had to have a child in the courtroom.
Okay.
So one of the things with if the judge wants to know a child's viewpoint on mm-hmm. something, if we have a teenager who has very strong opinions, who is a 15, 16-year-old, as I've had some judges say, they talk with their feet.
Yeah.
Then what there's several processes that are set up to get that information to the judge. One of them is a guardian ad litem who is appointed, who actually has those discussions. Interviews the children, interviews the parents, and provides a recommendation or at least the information to the judge so the mm-hmm. judge can make a decision. The other way is there's court officers, and they're called probation right. officers, but they're really family court officers who, if the child's in the court, like in the courthouse, for some reason was brought in, they will talk to the child. So we don't have that situation. There's in other states, they do have situations where children may be actually interviewed by a judge, go into chambers and stuff like that. Massachusetts, at least at this point, doesn't do that, mm-hmm. Which I think in many ways is a good thing, because you don't have that situation where a child right. is feeling like all the weight is on them and they're making a decision, because children shouldn't be making those decisions.
Right.
Depending on the situation, they should have some input, and there are definitely children, I've had situations where that have been very adamant about their opinions on things. I mean, I had one child, this was many years ago, who was very adamant that they wanted to change their last name, mm-hmm. And had some valid reasons. There was some, you know, the father in that case had a criminal record, and there were some very valid reasons why sure. that child wanted to change the last name. And we were able to get that information before the judge without the child having to stand in front of the judge, mm-hmm. which can be very traumatic.
Sure. And I know, you know, most of these judges all have a great demeanor, you know, some more stern than others, of course. But so they mm-hmm. when somebody like, you know, a child comes into the courtroom, if they do go into the courtroom, you know, if the judge does happen to, you know, speak to him in or out of the chambers, they basically, you know, they're very compassionate about that. I've seen a few of them here in the Attleboro court system that I've seen in the last so many years, that they'll go to the child, you know, off outside the chambers and stuff, like, you know, this is what mommy and daddy are going to do and this and that, you know, and sometimes you really, depending on how old they are, that's what you need to do, is you got to talk to them at their level, you know, and then you have a 14 or 15-year-old girl or a guy in the court, and you kind of talk to them and say, okay, you know, one-on-one, like it's your peer, you know, it's your, mm-hmm. you know, your equal, basically. So he or she needs to talk to them, not as a little baby. You've got to basically lay down the law, basically, and tell them, you know, this is not your fault. This is definitely not your fault. This is something that goes on in everyday life, you know, reconcilable differences and stuff like that. And you know, and I've seen the judge, one of the judges here, Judge Phillips, years ago, said the same thing to some little girl, said, it's called reconcilable differences, and they basically, like, she asked, what does that mean? And mm-hmm. he explained it as she would learn, and then, now this was going back a while, now, I don't think that little girl is around this area now, but I heard somebody in the Attleboro court system is saying that she is in college learning law, just because of Judge Phillips.
Yeah.
So they will give you really good advice, and I think that's really good to tell something about these judges are human beings. You know, they're not something, you know, that's like, oh, this is a bad place to be. You know, it's like police officers. You know,
right.
you've got people out there that help these people.
Right, absolutely, and I think that is judges. My experience in the probate and family courts is with judges talking with children typically uh-huh. would be in an adoption situation,
right.
which the judges absolutely love.
Oh.
Love having those situations. And a lot of times when I'm experiencing it, it's a step parent who's adopting. And And they really take a lot of time to explain the process and really celebrate those situations. When a lot of times when we're dealing in divorce situations, it's therapists or guardian litems that are working with the kids, and they really try to explain what you were talking about and give the kids that kind of guidance. And we're working a lot more with coaches, parenting coaches, who work with the parents, may work with the children as well to kind of help through that transition. Definitely parenting arrangements have changed over the years and are typically no longer just an dad seeing the kids every other weekend and a Wednesday night. It's much more fluid now. At least the goal is to be much more fluid and have a lot more exposure to both parents.
Now, when someone does, when somebody is choosing or considering a divorce, when should someone who is considering a divorce basically talk to someone like you?
I recommend it's when they're considering it, mm-hmm. not when they've already necessarily made a decision, because it's such an important decision in a person's life. You know, unless there's really, violence or something else that right. Is going on, it really, they need to weigh all of the options and understand what life is going to be like after the divorce and making that decision. And a lot of times, I'll have clients that come in and they're trying to decide. They may be in counseling, marriage counseling and so forth, and I'll have the marriage counselors send me, or even their religious leaders send them to me, so that they get a really good understanding of what the divorce process is like. And so then they can make a decision whether that's what they want to do or they want to take that energy and put it towards the marriage counseling.
Now, for you now, have you seen a big change now over some time regarding custody and parenting arrangements as well?
Absolutely. There's two types of custody. There's legal custody, which is the major decisions in the children's lives, such as medical, religious, educational. That typically is joint legal custody, unless there's absolutely the parents have a difficult time communicating, or they can't communicate at all because there may be domestic violence issues. And physical custody runs the gamut from sole to joint and somewhere in between, wherein that's where the children live, who they spend a majority of their time with. And there really has been much more of a trend towards joint physical custody or some variant in between, where it's much more, as I say, fluid, where the children, parents live hopefully closer together, hopefully within the same town, and the children are able to go back and forth a lot more between the parents. Mm-hmm. But you really have to look at the kids' personalities, as well as schedules, their ages, to really try to make a determination as to what is going to work for that family.
Right.
It's very family specific. It's not a one-size-fits-all solution. And that's where it gets kind of complicated.
Now, as you're going into, as we go into another subject here, when you're going to about prenuptial agreements, between a man and a woman or same sex, who needs one of those? I mean, I know, you do need one, but who needs one of those?
I would say most times it's a good idea to have it. A lot of people are very cautious or don't really like to think about prenuptial agreements. Definitely, if it's your second marriage and you have children from a prior, it's a very good idea to have it. Because a lot of times people just think prenuptial agreements are for divorce. In reality, the most times that they're used in those situations is for death.
Right.
Because you can have a situation where one spouse owns the house, the other spouse moves in upon marriage, and that spouse who owns the house continues to own that house, and they may be keeping something separate because they want to be able to pass it down to their children.
Right.
And then you have situations where, unfortunately, the owner of the house dies, and then the remaining spouse not only is grieving, but doesn't have anywhere to live. And so that can get really complicated, and we deal a lot with those type of situations that can get really sad and complicated. And prenuptial agreements can really set out what both parties want to do in those situations.
When do you think it is a good time to talk to someone like yourself regarding a separation or a divorce? I mean, you don't have to, you may be thinking like, well, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to do that. You know, this is not you yourself talking to your spouse or whoever. But when is actually a good time? You don't want to wait. You don't want to waste too much time.
Right. You really want to do it when you're considering it, mm-hmm. and not wait until, I like to say, not wait until, you know, you've made the final decision and you've had that discussion, because unfortunately I've had clients that have come back and said, you know, I wish I hadn't, you know, now that I know more information, I wish I hadn't made the final pull. Uh-huh. And sometimes that may mean that the other spouse has already kind of moved on and lost that chance. So I advise all my clients, before you make a decision, make sure you have all the information. And that's really something I encourage and help them build a team of people, tax professionals, real estate brokers, therapists, really anybody that they're going to need to gather that information, because a lot of the decisions that have to do with a divorce are decisions that are financial in nature. Uh-huh. And if it's not something that you do on a daily basis, it's a good idea to have that team and those professionals guide you.
And the other thing is, you know, if you're doing something like that, how about a grandparent? You know, when you're a grandparent who is maybe caring for a grandkid, you know, a grandchild, you know, when should that person seek to establish those rights legally?
I always tell people, when things are going well,
mm-hmm. yeah,
right. Don't wait until there's a crisis, because typically then that may be too late.
Yeah.
So when things are going well, and the grandparent is taking care of the child and everyone's in agreement that the grandparent's going to be the primary caretaker of mm-hmm. that child, get that in writing, get it, formalize it, because for some of those situations, it may be that the parent is unable to care for the child. Mm-hmm. And maybe because of addiction or other issues, you don't want to wait until that parent who's having those issues tries to come back and still is not able to care for the child. So when things are going well, in the beginning of the process, when you can kind of do at the very least talk to an attorney.
We are here with Michelle Raymond. Michelle, how can people get in touch with you if they need you at any point?
They can call my office in Franklin, which is 508-541-3000, or email me. And my email address is mmr@dcdclaw.com, and that's dcdclaw.com.
And the company that you work for is?
Doherty, Chekanowski, Dugan & Cannon.
Yes, and they're located on Grove Street in Franklin, right?
Right, 124 off, Grove Street in Franklin.
Right off 495. You go past the shopping center on the right-hand side and take the left, is it? You come off of the main thing, 495.
You come off of 495, yeah. And you actually go left back over the highway.
That's right, okay.
And then take a left onto Grove Street.
That's exit 17, right, okay, yep. Yeah, because there's two exits, 16 and 17, that go kind of almost in the same place.
Correct.
You can go all the way down to Main Street, wherever you're going, you can go right into the city as well, we know that.
We're very accessible.
Very, very accessible, that's for sure. We are here with Michelle Raymond. I could take a quick break right here, be back with more on Michelle and her company, and what she can help you with in the near future. So stay with us.
On Common Ground will be hosting an herbal artisan craft fair on Saturday, June 6th at Seven Arrows Herb Farm, located on Oak Hill Avenue in Seekonk. The day will be filled with live music, lectures, and organic demonstrations. An herb-inspired menu adds to this exciting venue, so mark your calendar today. For more information, call 508-226-0801.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council. Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while one in five children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. The Attleboro Historic Preservation
Society will hold its May meeting on May 21st at 6:45 p.m. at the Attleboro Area Industrial Museum. The Industrial Museum is located at 42 Union Street in Attleboro. Victor Bonneville, local historian and co-author of the book Images of America, Attleboro, will be the presenter for the May meeting. The public is invited to attend this educational program. Plan to attend and bring a friend.
All right, we are back with you here on AM 1320. 9:32, we're going to check in with Jim Corbin in just a few moments or so. He'll be here in less than 10 minutes. We're here with Michelle Raymond, who is an attorney from the Franklin area. Before we get into any other questions, you also are very fond of another thing that you're doing. You're from North Attleboro and an RTM member?
I'm not an RTM member right now, but I was a former one and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know that we had one of the current or the former one on this program about a little over a year ago talking about it. It's a fun thing if they really want to get into a politics. I can't think of the guy's name. His name John. He was here about a year ago, but he said, you know, if you really want to get into things in the town, that's one of the places to get into. I know. I'm not sure if Selectman Patrick Reynolds was involved in that, because I know one of the youngest selectmen there in the town. But but it's, you know, an RTM member is a way to get your foot wet, you know, your feet wet into politics if you really want to.
Absolutely, and also just to know and understand what's going on and meet people in town. It was a really great thing that when I moved into North Attleboro, my husband grew up there. I didn't. Uh-huh. I'm originally from Florida, so it was a really great way for me to understand the New England process. Sure. Really enjoyed it. I actually was part of the RTM coordinating committee and was one of the co-chairs for that. So it was interesting to see how the whole process works and how it goes up to the legislature and how it deals with the selectmen. And so I learned a lot in doing that.
Yeah, it is an important part of politics. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'll do this or I'll do that, and, you know, as an intern and in politics. But you know, that's a good way to, like you said, it's a good way to get your feet wet to learn about all the backgrounds of every and anything in town or city government.
Right, and to be able to feel like your opinions count, and you can talk to neighbors and other people in town about what's going on in your own town. And that's very important to be able to do that. And, you know, we all talk about national politics all the time, but it's really more important for everyday lives what's going on in our own town.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The other things, you know, as you said, you've got so many things as your resume, an expert in just about a lot of things out here. As going back to marital law, are there general advice that you would give to people, especially about alimony law? Now, that's you've seen that a lot of changes in that in recent years as well.
Yes, we've had a new law come to pass in Massachusetts in the past couple of years that the courts and the attorneys are still trying to figure out how it's going to be applied. One of my partners, Mike Doherty, just went up to the Massachusetts Supreme Court and had a case on the alimony law there. And one of the real specific things with that is that law now has been determined that it doesn't apply to past agreements. Mm-hmm. So I really encourage people that if they've had new situations that have come up and they're receiving alimony or they're paying alimony, that they do talk to a lawyer and just make sure that nothing's changed. Or have, if something's changed, how that would apply to them. Because there are durational limits now that are in place, which can affect whether they're going to continue to receive alimony or whether they have to continue to pay it. Mm-hmm. So that can really affect people's future and really make a determination on that.
Now, the other question has really nothing to do with this. It kind of goes on the opposite way. About kids, high school and college kids, sometimes they need a healthcare proxy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of in my practice and just in general life that I've really learned how important this is and how people don't really understand it, is that when your kid turns 18, mm-hmm. they're an adult. They don't act like an adult necessarily, right, but yeah. they are an adult. And so if something happened, if they got into a car accident and were in the hospital, even though they might still be in high school and living in your house, you don't have the legal right to make medical decisions for them anymore. And without that healthcare proxy, parents can find themselves in a situation where they can't get a child moved from one hospital to another. They can't make a medical decision for them if the child was in a drug-induced coma because they've been in a car accident and they need, you know, specific treatment or need decisions made, because no one has been appointed to help make those decisions when the child can't make them, or I should say the adult can't make them.
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that because they figure he's still in high school. I can make the decisions. Not unless you have that. And so it's really important for all, I like to say the 18th birthday, get the healthcare proxy in place and get the durable power of attorney in place, especially before they're going off to college. Because if they're going to a different state, you want to make sure that you don't ever receive the phone call that your kid's in the hospital and they can't give you any further information. We've had situations where that's happened. And I can't imagine a more stressful situation for a parent to have to fly out of half across the country not knowing what the status of what's going on with their child. And that piece, that document can prevent that situation from happening.
You also recently, a few years ago, you also had a presentation that you did with Melissa and Steve from your office on what every tax professional should know about their alimony reform law. As we said, there are some new alimony laws. I know we talked a little bit about it earlier. If you want to touch on a few of them as well.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things with the new alimony law is that it really tried to codify to make specific how alimony is going to work from in the future. And one of the things that they did was they really set up that the alimony would be a certain percentage between the parties' incomes and that it could end. Prior to that, alimony, if you were granted alimony by the court, it was lifelong, which meant that if the payer retired, had to still pay it, that it was until both or either party's death. Mm-hmm. And that has changed now. So it really can be dependent upon the length of the marriage. There's also different types of alimony. Now there can be rehabilitative alimony or reimbursement alimony, which is reimbursement's sort of interesting, is that if there isn't enough assets in a marriage, but one spouse help the other go through in college or get a professional degree, that they're now going to be able to have increased income, that they could get alimony instead of an asset division because they helped and assist them through that, which can be very interesting because that wasn't available before. It's kind of like, well, there's no assets. Mm-hmm. You've spent all the assets getting this degree. Too bad. now it provides us with another option.
There's all, and like you said, there's all, and you know, since you've been doing this, you know, you've seen all these different changes, and there's probably still going to be new changes coming down down the line as well.
Yeah, I mean, the child support guidelines change every several years. I think it's every 4 or 5 years that changes, and a lot of people don't understand that. So, with the child support guidelines having changed, the law is now that. If you calculate the child support based on what both parties' income at that particular time, even this is after divorce, it could be 10 years later, if the guidelines are different than what is actually being paid at that point in time, then either party can file and get that change, whether it be reduced child support or increased child support. So I really encourage people to look and at least calculate out what the guidelines would be after every couple of years, just to kind of make sure that money isn't being left on the table, you're not overpaying or not receiving as much as what you should be.
Right, okay. All right, as I'm talking to you, I am getting, I'm learning myself a lot from you as well, because a lot of times people may say, like, you know, it may be over a lot of people's heads, but what you are doing, what I'm hearing, is you're giving the layman's term, which is great, because, you know, I've had lawyers in here and a lot of other people in here. And I was telling that to Michael when he was here. Right. I says, you really are telling people what they should learn about and they should know about. Mm-hmm. And basically you're not doing these, you know, $200 words over your people's heads. You are coming down to the layman's term, which most of the time is basically what most lawyers are doing these days. I mean, some of the people who are still old school, they've got to be up here, you know, at Harvard talking. And, right. You know, most of these people you have to talk to. I mean, you've seen that you've got to talk to on their level or it's going to be over their heads.
Well, I think this is the area of practice that I do is it's about people's lives.
Right.
This affects their lives in such a profound way that they need to be able to make the decisions. I can't make it for them, but I can give them all the tools they need to make that decision.
And you have the passion in your voice to tell these people as well.
Yeah, because it's really important that they have all the information they need to make that decision and that they own the decision, because that's the only way that they're really going to be able to move forward and you know, find happiness and be able to get through this, as well as reestablish a new life in many ways. And so when people come into my office, they are typically in the worst situation that they're in. They are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what they're doing. And so I need to be able to convey information to them that they can grasp at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then build on that over time. And I really try to work them through that process so that they can by the end. I mean, I've had clients that have come in that are just a complete mess when they come in. And when they leave, they're confident. They're able to make decisions. They can convey their opinions and their thoughts in ways that they never thought that they would be able to. They've been able to kind of reestablish and find that strength, both men and women. Mm-hmm. That's part of the process, because then they're going to be successful on working with the other parent. They're going to be successful on trying to go out and get a job if they've been a stay-at-home parent for many years. There's a lot of challenges, and they need to be able to build that confidence to be able to do that.
Right, exactly. All right, we are here with Michelle Raymond. We're going to take our next check on the forecast. Meteorologist Jim Corbin is back with us once again, Jim.
Climbing through the 60s, Don, the record, at least in Attleboro on this day, is 95, set back 15 years ago. We won't reach that, but we're going to get close to 80 around 3 o'clock this afternoon. Wall-to-wall sunshine. A little of the moonshine late tonight, falling down to the mid-50s, and then not a bad Friday. Sunshine, just a few clouds late, highs in the upper 70s to near 80, cooler over the East Coast. And right now it looks like a pretty warm Mother's Day weekend, if you want to include Saturday. Sunshine mixed with a few clouds, a high of about 80 on Saturday and mid-80s on Sunday. The exception, if you're down along Buzzards Bay, Narragansett Bay, it will be about 10 degrees cooler. It does look like we'll get into some rain showers Sunday night and Monday of next week.
All right. Sounds great, Jim. Well, we can continue taking a look at the forecast later on with Paul, but we'll talk to you in the morning then.
And I'll see you in the morning as well at 9 o'clock.
You will be here tomorrow morning, that's for sure.
All right, talk to you then.
All right, sounds great, Jim. All right, yeah, speaking of Jim Corbin, Jim will be with me in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow morning. We are here right now with Michelle Raymond talking about all different types of law, especially marital law, domestic law, whatever kind of law that you have a problem with. How can people get in touch with you again if they do have a problem with different types of law?
Right. At my firm, Doherty Chekanowski, Dugan & Cannon, which is located in Franklin, my phone number is 508-541-3000, or email, which you can get through my website, which is at dcdclaw.com.
On the website, dcdclaw.com, each client, each attorney, I should say, has a video there. Each attorney, and I think that's interesting to see, because sometimes you may not know who you're getting or what right. lawyer you're going to get, and you want to see them firsthand. Sometimes you'll call, you know, or if they do radio or television ads, newspaper ads, you don't know who you're going to get. You may get this person or that person, but it's kind of nice if you're getting something like yourself or Mike or whoever. You get to see that 2-minute video that you guys did. That was done recently, or who actually put those things together? And you basically, all the attorneys kind of tell you exactly what your expertise is.
Right. We try to give an overview mm-hmm. of kind of what the expertise, as well as, like you said, get to know a little bit about that attorney's style. Mm-hmm. I think especially for my area of law, it's very much a relationship between the attorney and the client, and so I have found it helpful where people have come to me and said, all right, I've looked you up on the website, I was referred to you, but I also saw your video, and so they feel like they know me a little bit, and that helps kind of break the ice with the first phone call. We did that a couple of years ago. I know we're looking at kind of updating some of them. Mm-hmm. It really kind of, I think, allows people to see a little bit more about that. You know, we're people too.
Yeah, exactly. and you did a nice job on it as well.
Thank you.
You did a really good job on that one. Because sometimes, you know, it might be a little tough on some of these attorneys that, you know, to be in front of a camera and say something. But it's you're in the public eye all the time. You're standing up in front of a court or in front of the of people out there. You've got to basically be at least a decent public speaker out there. So, you know, being in broadcasting for you know, many years, you've got to know what to say at the right time, basically.
Right.
Because I know, especially like I said to you on the phone last week, my uncle is a retired lawyer, and he had different phases, real estate and everything else underneath his belt. And to this day now he's living in Florida, and he still is a great speaker, you know, a great orator. But you need to have that. If you're going to go into a lawyer, be a lawyer or something like that, you've got to be good with the clients. You got to, you know, are there places around this area? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of great colleges and stuff where people can go. Now, if someone basically is looking to become a lawyer, or they want to be an intern, what would you suggest, you know, maybe interning at a local law firm or at a court system?
Interesting question. I think if someone's interested in going into law, they definitely should try and talk to as many different lawyers as they can and shadow them at their office or intern, mm-hmm. see if they can get an internship with an office, because there's so many different areas of law, and that can really depend on what kind of practice that they can do. Because if you're a state planning attorney, is very different than the life of a litigator who's in the courtrooms a lot. Massachusetts has many law schools. We're blessed with that. I actually went to Boston University School of Law, which was a fantastic experience in Boston, especially from a Florida girl. And So really learning what the options are and going in and really trying to see what interests mm-hmm. them about the law is really important, I think.
I know a couple of friends of mine who are lawyers in here in Massachusetts always stood by Fordham University. It's another mm-hmm. great school there in New York, right?
Yeah,
yes. Yeah, Fordham University. But they basically need to pick and choose. And, of course, I know some people have actually went to, as I said, to some of the local judges, you know, and they'll ask them. I mean, yep. Judges are perfect. If you can get them, but just don't get them at their lunch hour, you know. But if you can get them at a certain time, you know, and the good thing about, I think was it last week or a couple of weeks ago, here in Attleboro District Court, there was a day where some of the youngsters were in court, mm-hmm. and I think some of those people out there really got their feet wet. You know, like they asked some of the judges, you know, for this and that. I know Judge Aguiar, when he was mm-hmm. here in Attleboro, he was really great with some of the kids. The kids would actually go up to him and says, "Judge, you know, what do you want?" You know, and he would ask them, What is your expertise? Where do you want to go? And I remember one girl saying, "Well, I want to get into real estate law," and I'm like, "Well, that's all I want." And today, I think she went to Attleboro High at the time. She is now a real estate lawyer in Connecticut. And then there was a young boy who went at the time, who's now a lawyer in outside of Boston someplace, and he is in fact he's working at the Moakley Courthouse now. And it's just some of these young people out there who want to know how things go. And now they're one of the top attorneys in the Boston area. I mean, right. You really, you know, and you can really ask, you know, that's what it is. You ask questions. It's kind of like being in the Chamber of Commerce. You've got to network with these people, you know, to learn about it.
Absolutely.
And these two kids now are working in the court system with, you know, with great advice from great people down here in the Attleboros.
Absolutely. And What I find very fascinating, besides working with the clients and being able to help clients through the different changes in their lives and the law and kind of that full aspect of it, is that law in many ways provides you the ability to really have your own practice, even mm-hmm. when you're within a larger practice, because it's very much about being comfortable in your own skin and selling yourself in your own services through that. Your knowledge, your ability to help clients through whatever issue they may be having. And so that really is very interesting, and there aren't a lot of other fields that you're able to do that in.
The other thing that from off of your paperwork that I had printed out, it said something about how can attorneys and CPAs work together to assist some of your clients?
Absolutely. That's becoming much more really a required process in the probate and family court. There's so many financial issues and tax-related issues in divorce that we're really finding that working with the CPAs, getting a good idea of what potential tax options are out there, saves our clients a lot of money. Plus, the judges want to know, what's the tax impact of this? What's and a lot of that is between child support, paying a support as child support or alimony or some unallocated, which is a mix of both. There are different tax implications with it. And then there are other areas in division of assets that there may be tax implications. And that's where, having paid attention to that, I've been able to kind of offer some unique solutions to some problems, especially with mediation clients and litigation clients as well, that has saved my clients thousands upon thousands of dollars now and in the future, because they had that knowledge and they were able to see that it really helped them meet their goals, whether that was access to money that they might not otherwise have, or really craft a support structure that helped both parties keep money within the family unit, which can be very important and can change whether a case is going to settle or not.
Now, what other, we've got a few more minutes to go here. What other mistakes do you see people make that you wish you could change?
number one, not talking to attorneys soon enough.
Right.
And one of them is that they may take money out of, or one of the things I see a lot is canceling credit cards. Okay. They feel that, okay, you know, we're going to get a divorce. One of the first things someone had said, like, I think this was the practice long ago, we've got these joint cards, we're going to cancel everything. That can really hurt your credit rating big time by doing that. Because all of a sudden now the history that you had with that company is now gone, especially if you still owe money on those cards. And so there are ways that we can help transition, separate out the credit without affecting your credit score, because credit score is so important for people going through divorce, because they may be selling and trying to buy a new house, they may be refinancing. And so sometimes those snap decisions that people make can affect how we're going to be able to settle a case. And they might not think that it's important.
Right. And then lastly is when we're going to talk about divorce again, what should a divorced person seek out as an attorney for some of the changes to an agreement?
So the time frame of a lot of people will come to me and it may be like, oh, well, a year ago we changed custody. You know, one of the children are now living with dad instead of mom primarily, but they never changed it in the court system. They may have stopped paying child support one to the other, and it was kind of a gentleman's agreement, a shake of a hand. Those are definitely scenarios where they need to formalize it with the court, and it doesn't need to be a long process. It can just be a simple agreement that's filed with the court and approved. But without that, I've seen situations where something happens, spark is lighted, people get upset with each other, and then all of a sudden there's $10,000 that was owed according to a judgment, but they had an agreement. It's still owed according to the judgment because they never changed it with the court. And that can really have some bad effects.
And like people need to be aware of all some of these changes, and it's tough. It's an ongoing it's like an ongoing scenario. It's kind of like this these sick time benefits that are coming up in just less than 2 months on July 1st. And I know Mike has been very busy with that. And I know that most attorneys who know all about those, you know, all those laws are really. I'm really doing a lot of things. In fact, I'm going to be contacting Mike hopefully in the next week or so. I'm going to try to get him in studio to kind of do a kind of a last minute background on this, because these things change all the times. And I know that there are a lot of people, you know, who need these, you know, before it goes into in effect in
Absolutely.
July.
Absolutely.
So lastly, before we get out of here, Michelle, first of all, I want to thank you for coming down here today. I know you got a huge schedule. You got a busy schedule. First of all, tell us how, you know, the company where you are, where how they can get in touch with you if they do need a legal question answered.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Really enjoyed it. And once again, it's Attorney Michelle Raymond at Doherty, Chekanowski, Dugan & Cannon. And they can contact me through the website, which is dcdclaw.com, or phone number, which is 508-541-3000. And I really think anytime that someone has a question of whether is this a legal problem or not, if you've got that question or one of your friends said maybe you should talk to a lawyer, it's a good idea to call.
Sounds great. All right. Hopefully we'll have you down in the near future, and we'll see other changes in the law down the line.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank
Michelle Raymond, thank you very much.